Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Annoy people on the quiet car and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus. Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's BT and Sal. Now, here's Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata.
Hi, BT. All right, BT, here we are live at the Fanatics Fest in New York City. This is incredible, the Javits Center. Live here in New York City, Javits Center, BT and Sal. And, you know, it's a nice setup. Before we get into the Mets stuff, we might as well acknowledge the setup, a different open. I wasn't ready for that. This is pretty insane. We talked about it for weeks.
Yeah.
And thinking about the setup, and it is incredible here so far. I haven't even had time to check the whole thing out. But it is sick. If you're in the area or you could take the time this weekend, if you're a sports fan, you should come check
it out. It's incredible. I hit the whole thing. First thing that I stumbled upon, Andre the Giant's ring-worn boots.
Ah, it's pretty sick.
It's insane. And they have every sport's represented. It's absolutely great. We've got some set up here for the fan. I know Evan Atiki is going to roll through later. We'll have some stuff going on over the weekend. You'll be here tomorrow. It really is. I mean, to me, and I was talking to our boss, Ryan Hurley, about this. You know, he's been to a bunch of Super Bowls. This is like, I mean, it seems five times bigger than Radio Row at the Super Bowl. It's just a massive undertaking, and it just seems like it's very organized and awesome.
Have you ever been here for the All-Star events?
I've been here a few times.
Like, I was here.
A car show.
What was the year, 98, 97, when the All-Star game was at the Garden?
Basketball? 97,
want
to say.
Right,
that
so
was.
I remember coming here with my ex-girlfriend. We came and did all the, yeah, exactly.
Where'd you go after it?
I don't remember, but that's what it reminds me. And then also for the All-Star Game at Citi Field, one was here in 2013.
Yep, same I didn't thing. Come to that one.
And speaking of the Mets, and that's where we're going to start.
Should I get out the bugle? Is it time to do a little tap?
Well, I mean, that type of loss, we left the air. The Mets game was still going on, and they had a lead at the time. We were making a big deal out of, you know, who threw out the first pitch, which we won't even need to get into that today. But then, of course, they go out there and blow the game, blow a 5-0 lead and a 6-4 lead, and it's a loss that you can't help but feel like, it's over. But I don't want to say that it's over yet because the Braves lost. They're still two games back.
Yep.
Their percentages, I don't get into that, but it remains basically the same as it was with the loss yesterday. Okay, so they can move forward, sweep the Marlins, whatever. But when I give it some deep thought, and I do that, we talk about it, you know, off the air, and we start thinking about things and why I feel certain ways. And we've talked about this specifically for the entire season. Why don't I trust the core? And there's a reason I don't trust the core. And the reason is because they have proven to be soft. They have proven to not be able to handle the pressure when they need to succeed, whether it is the end of the season in 2022, the postseason in 2022, last year with the expectations, this year to start. Now, they have responded, the 0-5 start, 11 games under 500, but then the pressure was off, and that was the talk. Wow, what do we care? If we lose, what's the difference? We're going to be ripped anyway, so go out there, take the pressure off, and go win. And they did. And now, the second that there's an ounce of pressure on them, which there is because they're choking away a wildcard spot, which they were in a lead for, and the Braves are now playing better, you see the Mets start to regress, whether it's a 10-game road trip, whether it's losing 2 of 3 in crushing fashion at home to the A's, whether it's Alonso's number in the clutch, Nimmo falling off a cliff. This core has proven to not be able to handle the pressure. I'm not saying that they won't make it, but that's why I don't believe in them, because they have proven to fail every time there's pressure on them.
I don't blame you. They don't earn the benefit of the doubt in terms of belief. Now, Sal's right. I mean, I think it's easy, and you're going to hear this from some people. Like, I'm sure. And, well, you'll hear them tomorrow. I'm sure if Joe B was still doing the midday show, that Joe B would be telling everybody that it's over. And maybe at the end of the day, Joe B would be right, and I think that it's over, but not because of yesterday. I've been saying for a while, I don't think that the Mets are good enough. This core, though, they haven't earned the right, they haven't earned the trust to say, like, with real conviction that Met fans think they're going to find their way out of this. Like, when anytime you talk about a situation and you have to, like, illuminate other teams playing poorly as a reason why you believe that your team still has a chance, That's not reassuring.
Right.
Like, nobody's sitting here saying, well, the starting pitching is going to go on a heater and Pete's going to smack, you know, 9 or 10 home runs in September, or, you know, this is going to happen and this guy's going to do this. It's really more about, well, it season's not over because the Braves aren't playing great.
Right.
And that, to me, tells you all you need to know about this Mets team. They're not good enough.
Right. The number one reason why I started to feel like the Mets are going to be a playoff team is because at the time, a few weeks ago, I wasn't taking the Diamondbacks and Padres seriously. And that's my mistake. I admit that. When I'm paying attention to them, I knew that they were built to be better. And by the way, that's a different issue, where the Braves, Padres, Diamondbacks were all built to be legitimate contenders in the National League. The Mets were not. So when you start to project what's going to happen down the final month of the season, well, those teams are good. Could they fall off? Could they hit a rough patch? Sure, but those teams were supposed to be playoff teams, and now they've corrected their seasons that were going the wrong way. The Mets were not built to be a legitimate contender. They were built to be kind of what they are, a fringe third wild card, which I thought they could get when the Braves started falling off. But now the Braves playing much better, the Mets are going to have to play better. Can they do that? Yeah, and I'm not giving up hope, and here's why. Because this group, and I question the core and the pressure, but they have responded when we buried them many times.
Yep.
So they're not officially buried yet. 2 games back, 40 games, whatever it is.
I think it's 41 now.
Okay, there you go, 41 games. So mathematically, everything's still very
100%.
It's all right there in front of them.
Yeah.
And not to sound like Aaron Boone, but it's all right there in front of them.
You guys still have a lane for the postseason.
But when people say, yeah,
come on, don't let that go over
your head. No, I get it.
I know you're worked up, but come on, you got to at least give me a chuckle.
No, I got it. Yeah, right, exactly. So about bowling. No, but when I say why I don't believe that they will be, I got to give you a reason for it.
Yep.
Similar to the Yankees in the playoffs. Like, you can't just say the Yankees are going to win the World Series. You could hope and think that they have a chance to, but yeah, until they do it in the postseason, how could you trust this group? Because they haven't done it before. Well, until this Mets group looks the Braves eye to eye, and they're going to have to do that because it's Mets versus Braves right now, and beats them, I don't believe that they can.
I wouldn't use the word soft, though. And you used that, a couple of minutes ago here, describing the Mets. I don't think that they're soft. I don't think that they're good enough. And I think, like, a soft team, like what happened the opener of the A's with the relief pitcher mocking the celebrations.
Austin Adams,
your former Met, who was DFA'd, obviously, before the start of the season. And he kind of resented some of the words, and he apologized. But we saw the actions, and he was shouting expletives at Alvarez. And he did what he did, right? All the theatrics, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if this was a soft team, I'm not sure that they come out and they win the next game. And they buried. Now, the A's aren't incredibly good, but, like, the Mets did respond. They buried them. They scored a ton of runs. Lindor hit the home run. He did his own mock celebration to let them know, hey, you know, we didn't appreciate that. And then yesterday, the Mets jumped out to a 5-0 lead. So they were ready to play.
Right, but they blew it.
So I don't think that they're soft. Again, I just keep going back to the talent base. Let me look at it this way. So if you were to take, give me an arbitrary, I'll make it an easy number, 10. The top 10 teams based on whether it's run differential, whether it's record, whether it's something else that you want to gravitate to. But generally, the teams, the consensus, the best 10 teams in baseball right now. The Mets obviously are not among that group, or I shouldn't say obviously. For me, they're not. And I think for most people, they're not. But if you go to those 10 teams, right, and then you take, like, the 3, 4, 5 best players for the Mets, where are they hitting in those lineups if you were to dump them on those other teams?
Right.
How many Mets right now, you go around the horn, all right, Pete's going to be playing, but who's second? I mean, center field, right field, I mean, left field with Nimmo stats. I mean, really, it's Lindor. It's Alvarez, unless you have a better catcher. It's Vientos, probably is a DH, and it's Pete. That's it. So, it's not underselling or underselling the Mets and dissing the Mets, and it's not overstating things or being hyperbolic. The Mets simply don't have enough good players, and I've tried to tell everybody that this summer.
But when I say soft, to me that's the same thing as not being able to handle the pressure. Now, maybe you're taking it as they can't take a punch, and this team has proven to take a punch and respond.
Defended on that. That's why I thought you meant more so.
No, I mean, and maybe it's the wrong adjective then to use, but I mean they can't handle the pressure. When they had a chance to win one damn game in 2022 to win that stupid division, they couldn't do it. They went head-to-head. Their 3 best pitchers were lined up. All they had to do was beat the Braves once, lose the series, win a game, win the division, and move on. They didn't. They got swept. They never got off the mat. They didn't respond in the postseason either. They went weakly against the Padres, and they've never recovered. So when by the way, I'll take it a step further. You mentioned Pete Alonso, right? Outside of Lindor, Alonso, and maybe even with Lindor, Alonso's supposed to be one of, if not their best players.
Mm-hmm.
This has been going on for years. Pete Alonso Alonzo is supposed to be the face of the franchise.
Yep.
If not their best player, certainly their second best player.
Had a chance to do something in the ninth, popped up, did nothing.
Pete Alonzo is under immense pressure this year. Why? Because he wants a big contract. Now, he could minimize it all he wants. The reality is he's playing this year in a walk year for a big contract. And it's his worst year of his career by far. And as the season goes on and you look at the numbers, what's Pete Alonzo struggle with the most? Runners in scoring position.
Yes.
Pressurized at bats. That's what I'm talking about.
I got you.
It's not just a pick on him because it has been the team.
For sure.
To 2022. But when your best player, you know, Mike Piazza got the job done in the clutch 95% of the time. I know you don't know the exact number.
Yeah,
but it felt like.
Mike did damage when he had to do damage.
It felt like. David Wright came up with some clutch hits. Like,
yep. Derek Jeter was clutch. A-Rod was not, really.
Even Lindor.
We know who's clutch and we know who's not. Jalen Brunson, clutch. Julius Randle? No, not yet. Right. I know I'm jumping from sports, but it's easy to discern who's clutch and who's not.
But
we know.
Correct. And when you talk about Pete, for the Mets to make the postseason this year, you said it yesterday, Pete's going to have to go on a tear. I mean, 14 homers to finish the year with 40, is it that type of tear? Maybe not, but he's going to actually have to start playing like Pete Alonso was expected to play. And to do that, he's going to have to thrive in not only the pressure of his walk year, which he hasn't done yet, but he's going to have to do it in the pressure of battling for a postseason spot. When the Mets played at their best this year, everybody had them written off. They were dead. They weren't even worth talking about. Now they're back in the conversation, and they're playing the way that they played in 2022, blowing their postseason chances.
Well, I might have to amend something I've said for a while here. All right, now I've said that the Mets aren't going to go to the it's my opinion. I've said it for about 2 months that the Mets would hang around, but they would ultimately fall, you know, painfully short. For Met fans, you know, that they'd be over 500, 83 wins, 82-80. Sal, I'm starting to think that this is going to disintegrate. I think that yesterday there's so much symbolism, and not just the Hawk Tua stuff, which we got into.
I mean, come on.
I mean, but geez. I mean, you know, that actually hit when we were on the air.
They just don't get it.
They don't get it on so many different levels, and they have been crushed in the court of public opinion from a PR perspective. And it's not that, you know, listen, I think if you listen to Sal, I don't know if anybody's down to have more fun than me and this guy. Like, we push the envelope here, so it's not like we're, you know, they're two incredibly conservative, you know, prudish minds who are on the air. No, it's just that it was just a bad look.
It was just stupid.
It was infantile. It was really just, it was bad. It was low class, and they missed the boat. And then when you jump out to a 5-0 lead and you lose and it's the A's, and I know the A's aren't the Rockies and the A's aren't certainly the White Sox or one or two. Like, the A's are somewhat competitive, but geez, it's still the Oakland A's who get 5,000 people who go to their games. I mean, we probably know two or three Langoliers. What's that guy's name? We know two or three
The other dude was out. Brookins?
Yeah, Brookins out. We know two or three names on the team, and one of which, because he berated the Mets the other night, and it's a former Met who they cut. And we know their closer because he throws 105 miles per hour. Who the hell else do you know on the Oakland A's?
Right.
So I don't get too wrapped up. I almost think it's too convenient. Like, well, the Hawk Tua stuff, and they were stumbling, and then they flushed the 5-0 lead down the chute. That's got to be the symbolic end of the Mets. I don't want to wrap my mind around that too much, but I feel like it is.
Right.
I feel like the season died yesterday.
Understood. And initially, I think I felt like that, but I am still going to hold out hope and give them the benefit of the doubt that it's not over, only because they've proven to respond. But at the end of it, do I trust that they're going to be a postseason team? I can't, because they have to prove to me that they could play in pressure, which they have not so far. BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire, remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. David is calling from North Jersey. What's up, David?
Hey, what's up, guys? I hope you're wrong. I hope that the Mets do really make a push for the playoffs, but I'm concerned about a Pete Alonso. I think the guy just doesn't have anything left in the tank. He looks like he's over the hill at this point, and he's not that old where he should be looking like this, but the guy looks god-awful, and the Hawk Tua stuff, to me, would the Yankees ever do that stuff?
No.
That's what I'm wondering. Would the Yankees ever put her
out
there
like that? The Long Island Ducks don't do that.
The fact that we even have to talk about this stuff makes me irate.
Maybe that's the reason. Maybe that's why they did it, so that people do talk about the Mets. Talk Tua. I don't get it.
Here we go.
Spit on that dang.
And thanks for the call. We appreciate checking in.
This is going to devolve quickly if it's a, I was going to say if it's 4 hours of hot Tua.
No, I'm not doing it.
Can I say one thing about Pete? Listen, now, this has bothered many of you, and I understand that you're sensitive to it. Pete's your guy. Pete's been a borderline great player, certainly really, really good since he stepped on the scene and broke Aaron Judge's rookie home run record with 53. I've never tried to diss or be disrespectful to Pete. But my long-term assessments of Pete, which is why I've said for about a year or so now, actually more than that, that I would not give him a long-term deal, is I didn't think he would age gracefully.
Right.
And, you know, and trust me, who the hell am I to body shame anybody? He's as strong as an ox. Right. But does Pete's body look like it's going to be, like, bouncy and athletic like when he's 35? No, I don't see that.
But he's not athletic and bouncy now.
I understand that. But the deterioration from being an average athlete as you age, whether it's bat speed with pitch recognition, moving your feet at first base, scoring from first on a double. I mean, Pete's a one-trick pony. And if that one trick is not elite, who is he?
And if he's not, Pete Alonso has one job to do. Produce with power and drive in runs. Simple. End of story. And he's done neither this year. I don't even care if he ends up with 40 runs. You got to be able to drive in some runs here. That's what you're there for. If you don't, the Mets don't have a chance. Joe is in Clark. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Oh, hold on. There you go. What's up, Joe?
Joe.
What's up, boys? How's it going today, guys?
Good
buddy. We're good.
Real quick, guys. I kind of agree with both of you. I agree with BT that it's probably over, that they're not good enough to make the playoffs. But I agree with Sal that they still might have a run in them. Here's what I would do, Sal, going forward. I'll put D'Angelo's at first base next year. I'm not trying to pee. Maybe go out and sign Bregman, put him at third.
But Joe, right now it's not about next year, and thank you for the call. I can't do next year now. We got 40 games to go. Can we focus on now? Like, talk about Pete Alonso now and why you think he's either going to succeed down the stretch or he's not. I can't we can have those conversations, don't get me wrong.
It's a long winter, Sal.
Today's not the day. They're coming off the worst loss of the season.
Yeah.
And most people feel like, it's over. They symbolically bring out, you know, the first pitch girl or whatever. I don't even want to say the name anymore.
Well, the Mets, they said social media sensation or influencer.
Who?
I need to know who's okay. I need to know if Steve Cohen okay.
Who
that.
Thought
I need
that was a good idea? And then symbolically, like, it was going away because they were up 5-0.
Yep.
But then typically they you know, let
the
game get away.
11 walks?
It's just,
was it 11? 12?
And again,
how many guys did they walk?
I'm not trying to tie in her throwing out the first pitch to them losing. It's just so
doesn't it seem like it fits?
And that's what drives me up a wall. It'd be bad enough if they just lost the game.
Yep.
But with that on top of it. Anyway, point is that is a crushing defeat.
Crushing.
One that's tough to recover from. The good thing is they could easily sweep the Marlins. Now, they have to do that. They have to be able to sweep the Marlins and then move forward. And if they don't sweep the Marlins, BT, I don't know.
Do you think they're going to sweep the Marlins? Do you
think they could. Yeah.
Well, of course they could. Do you have a great sense of Met fans in front of us, right? Met fans, Yankees, what do we got? Met fans, raise your hands, right?
I see a lot of Yankees.
Okay, so I'd say if there's 100 people in front of us, 50, maybe not quite 50-50, whatever. Met fans, you think they're sweeping the Marlins or do you think they choke away a game? Well, we know that they have to, but do you think that they're going to? The consensus is no.
Yeah.
And I agree because
I will say that I'll go on record as saying I believe they're going to sweep the Marlins.
I don't. I think that they'll win too, but I don't think that they'll sweep them.
Okay,
they're not good enough to sweep anybody.
Oh, that's not true. They swept people before.
That's where you get the Yankees thing in there. They swept the Yankees.
Well, right, okay.
They did.
But the Marlins also aren't what they were. Like the
idea. Neither are the Mets.
No. I know that, but the Marlins traded off guys at the deadline. And here's why. I'm not just saying that because it's the Mets versus the Marlins. I'm saying it because this Mets group, when they've been pushed, when they've been buried, they've responded. But there's a difference of sweeping the Marlins and still making the postseason. The reason why the postseason stuff is because they're going to have to go head to head. You're not backing in to the postseason spot with the way that the Braves are playing. They're going to have to go head to head, toe to toe, mano e mano with Atlanta. And I don't think they could do it. Sweeping the Marlins? Sure. And they're going to keep their season alive. The other stuff, I don't think so. BT and Sal on the Fan, just getting started here on this Friday, live from the Javits Center, Fanatics Fest. More of your calls when we return.
All right, we will get to those calls. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Sal, Fanatics Fest, that's where we are. Fanatics Fest NYC is coming to the Javits Center. It's already here, and it's all weekend, as we'll host Hall of Famers Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, the Manning Brothers, hundreds more. The place is absolutely insane. I mean, there is something for everybody. UFC, WWE, every major sport represented. It's merch, it's autographs, it's incredible. Rare baseball cards and so much more. We're here all weekend, as I said. So make sure you come on out, give it a shot. For tickets and information, just go to fanaticsfest.com. That's fanaticsfest.com. Use promo code WFAN, get 15% off. Promo code WFAN, 15% off there. That's fanaticsfest.com. Fanatics Fest, the largest gathering of sports collectibles and athletes ever.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center in New York City, it's BT and Sal on the Fan.
BT and Sal back on the Fan, starting the show talking Mets. We'll get to some football a little bit later on as well as we get closer and closer to the official start of the season for both the Jets and the Giants. Of course, Yankees return to action tonight as well. But yesterday's Met loss, even though it happened in the afternoon, I mean, that is such a brutal loss. And now, you know what, BT, no matter what, we're the approaching the end of August, the Mets are there. We could say that we don't think they're going to get it done, or for whatever reasons, whether it's the pressure, whether it's just not good enough.
Yep.
Well, they're here, and now they're going to have a chance to prove it. And even these games against the Marlins, hey, it's essentially playoff games. I mean, this is it. You're in a playoff push here. Go win these games against the Marlins, see what happens with Atlanta and their series against the Angels, and see where the standings lay at the end of the week.
It will be a good start. I mean, it's just, you know, I know it's processed differently by fans. We're a little bit too presumptuous with certain things, but, and I think I said this on the show the other day about the White Sox. I'm like, they're a major league team, and you're like, are they? You know, and I understood. I'm mocking them. They got, what, 30 wins, and then they go out and they beat the Yankees that game. So, you really don't know. I don't think that there's, I just look at the Mets and I don't see a lot of things that I can hang my hat on and say, all right, because of this and that and this and that, this is why I believe they will elevate and pull themselves out of this funk. I'd like to see it. You know, like if David Wright was on this team and Jose Reyes, was, even though they collapsed, but right. Like Jose Reyes was on this team, or yeah. Mike Piazza was in the middle of the batting order, you know, or Keith and Darryl, I feel a little bit different.
Right.
But, you know, this Mets team, to me, is a very, very average major league team.
If Alvarez had taken that next step to be the impact bat, he has not. Vientos has, and I think that they found something with putting him in the two hole. That's got to be the
way. Yeah, I like him.
He's been their best hitter. Lindor's been their best hitter, but Vientos been
has
their
he
most.
Been? I think Vientos may be.
Well, Vientos most consistent. Like, he hadn't had that. Lindor obviously started, as you said, you know, we talked about it. He was atrocious. So, but once Lindor got going, he's been their best, but Vientos has been consistent once he got called up. So I think those are their two best hitters.
Yeah.
Lindor and Vientos, you have to have them 1-2.
I like Vientos, and I like seeing him go right field. You know, that tells me that he's locked in, and he's letting the ball travel deep, and he's just growing as a hitter. It's going to be interesting to see where, you know, he winds up, to Sal's point, position-wise, and not to get into next year today, but is he first? Is he third? Is he truly a DH? You don't want to have a 24-year-old DH.
Right.
I mean, I don't know any team that does. That, no. Like, consistently.
And that's part of the issue when we were evaluating Vientos before he started to get some playing time this year. Like, where's he going to fit? You can't have a 24-year-old DH. Can he play first? Can he play third? Like, what's his position?
Uh-huh.
And I think now, because of the way he hits, they're going to find a position for him.
He's earned it.
He has earned it. So that's one bright spot, but ultimately the Mets have to prove that they can get the job done. Chris is in Manhattan. What's up, Chris?
Hey guys, I'm gonna say positive, but Sal, I remember I called you a couple months ago. I think BT might have been off that day, and I said my concern was, did this core peak too early, meaning a couple years ago? And I think there's a difference. What they did was amazing, salvaging the year. I give them credit, but there's a big difference in doing that and now taking the reins and beating your foes down the stretch, and that's my concern. And we're gonna see. But that's a huge difference in what a team's capable of doing.
Yeah, and look, they have to prove, and thank you for the call, Chris, as always, they have to prove that they could get it done. Like, it can't just be blind faith. Every opinion that we have on them is based off of something. So why do you think they're going to get it done, or why don't you think they're going to get it done? The reason to believe in this Mets team this year is because they've shown you that when everybody has counted them out, they have responded. We're at that spot again. They were there 0-5. They were there 11 games under 500. They're there right now off of that horrific loss, off of the West Coast trip, falling, you know, two games back of the wild card spot, not playing good baseball. The offense hasn't been good dating back to pre-All-Star break. So they're again there where everybody's counting them out. Will they again respond where they've done it a few times already this year? The reason to not believe in them is because this core group has not gotten it done in the pressurized situation, whether it's the end of 22, the postseason in 22, and, you know, again this year. Anytime they've been playing with pressure, they have failed.
Well, to that point here, and I'm gonna flip this to you, but I want to set it up first. So, yeah, blind faith is, yeah, it's okay during the offseason. Yeah, you know, I hope my team does this, and, you know, I think the kid we just drafted might turn into that. But eventually you got to react to what you see. So let me set this up. So I'm going to take some of the teams in New York, some of the better ones. Jets, right? Why do I think the Jets, and I'm not going to go long on these, and I know we'll get to the Jets a little bit later, talk about the offense versus the defense. You got an interesting thing that you want to get into. I'm looking forward to it. Why do I think the Jets could win the Super Bowl? You know, because they have Aaron Rodgers healthy and their defense is outstanding. Why do I think the Yankees can win the World Series? Because they have Soto and Judge. Doesn't mean that this is going to happen, but at least I'm giving you evidence, right? Why do I think the Knicks could get to and win the finals? Because of last year's run, now you have Randall and you have Bridges, right? Why do I think the Rangers could take another step and get to the Cup and win it? Well, because they have a great goalie and they made a couple of tweaks on the ice this offseason and they've got a lot of experience. So those are four teams, and without even thinking, I just gave you concrete reasons. Now, I don't know it's not going to be four for four, I can promise you that, but maybe one of them cracks through. Nothing I said is outlandish. Now you answer this. Why are the Mets going to make the playoffs?
And that's the question. I mean,
see what I'm saying?
Well, because there is no definitive.
Bingo.
If Nimmo were hitting 300 or whatever, you know, kept his hot streak going, then you could say, well, they're going to make the playoffs because their offense is going to carry them there.
Or you had Harvey and DeGrom and Noah and they were young.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah.
And by the way, that's why I keep saying this is by design. The Mets, the owner, the general manager, they talked playoffs. The reality is they did not really build a team that was supposed to be contending for anything serious. Could you be a playoff team? Sure. With the expanded postseason, if things go wrong for the other teams, sure, you could be a playoff team. If everything goes right for you, sure. And they're right there. They still could be a playoff team, but there's nothing definitive, whether it's the starting rotation, whether it's a lockdown bullpen, whether it's a loaded lineup. There's nothing definitive. The only thing that would identify the Mets to some extent would be their offense. That's what's got to carry them.
Yeah.
And look at that, and I could poke holes in it all day. Nimmo, been awful. Ugh. Alonso, terrible year. Alvarez didn't emerge and develop. J.D. Martinez,
He's cooled off big time. Bader's an average player. Yeah, Marte's hurt again. Blah, blah, blah. You know, before we get back to the calls, in a weird way, like, it's almost unfair. Not that anything that you've said is off base. I think you nailed almost everything. I know Met fans are emotional and raw today. I get it. You're pissed off. Season's slipping away. But really, like, the Mets are basically ahead of schedule. They told us last year, we're going to be okay. We're just kind of setting this thing up. And they're a little bit more than okay. They're in the playoff hunt. And they haven't exhausted any resources, whether it's young talent or exorbitant money for the wrong player or sloppy deadline trades. So when you process it pragmatically, intellectually, the Met fan should be fine with where they are now. The problem is, once you get sucked into the season and you see, hey, we got a chance, you kind of forget about the pragmatic part of being a fan, which I fully understand.
Right. The expectations change in the season. Remo is calling from North Arlington, New Jersey. What's up, Remo?
Remo.
Not much, guys. I think if they re-sign Alonso, I think there's going to be a major upheaval. I think a lot of fans will stop going to some games, number one, being one of them.
No way.
I think I will stop going to as many games. I'm not going to totally stop, but
if they do re-sign Alonso?
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I think that's nonsense. I'm calling you out on that.
Alonso,
I don't believe it.
He's a bag of garbage. I don't like him. I think what the Mets are doing by bringing in this Hawk Tua girl is also a travesty. I don't know why they would do it, you know?
Oh, God. We can't do this. You see what the Mets have let themselves open for? And this is why we did this yesterday in real time without seeing any reaction. They left themselves open for this, where everybody now can call the station and punctuate the phone call when they're talking about the Mets with the Hawk Tua.
Think about that. A dig.
Think about that.
I know.
It's embarrassing. It's so stupid. It drives me up a wall. Like, I don't understand how they could think, anybody could think in their right mind, that that would be okay. Anyway, it's not about her.
Well, it's not. But not only did they bring her there and, you know, again, what she literally was referencing is not foreign to adults, let's be honest. But it's a bad look to have it on kids' day with camp. Okay.
That's a whole nother.
I know it
is. Yeah.
But not only did they make the, like, their, not morally, it's not immoral, but it's just a dumb thing that they did.
Right.
But they didn't even get her while she's hot.
I know, it's just,
like, they got her 3 months after she cooled down.
Their
timing isn't even good when they mess up.
Every which way, it was an awful, foolish, embarrassing decision for an organization that can't get out of their own way.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand it.
Hawk Tua appears for the sign at the belt.
Yeah.
And the stretch from Hawk Tua.
And ultimately, she was the only one who was throwing strikes yesterday.
That's true.
And ultimately, they're going to be judged on what they do on the field as far as the performance. And that's the main issue. They haven't been good enough. They aren't good enough on the field. And they try to get the attention. They try hard to do the other stuff. And it just makes them look even freaking worse. Now, I'm going to disagree with the caller talking about his Alonso stuff.
Yeah, well, that's, I don't think he even means what he said.
Yeah, you can't.
Let alone you and me. You and I disagree. And
no,
I do too.
No, but I do think the Alonso conversation is an interesting one. What they will do, what they should do as far as bringing him back. Fans are not going to revolt if they bring back Pete Alonso.
Yeah, I mean, Sal, if people, and we went through this a little bit, not everybody, but like when we were thinking about maybe, hey, the Yanks or the Mets should give Trevor Bauer a chance. We had Trevor on the show, and we know Trevor's history, and, you know, I did a lot of exhaustive research on that legally to understand, as did you, what was going on. So I was comfortable, although I think he is weird, I'm comfortable, and I still am, with, you know, the Yanks and the Mets giving him a shot. The point being, though, that was so polarizing when Met fans called us up, or Yankee fans, some did, and some tweeted, and they said, hey, if the Mets sign this guy, I'm never going to a game. That's more believable than if the Mets re-sign Pete Alonso, I'm never going. Right. Nonsense. You're full of it. You're lying.
Ray is in Waterbury. What's up, Ray?
Hi, guys. Great show, as usual.
Thanks, Ray.
Sal, you nailed it when you said they went weak at the trade deadline. They needed Blake Snell. You put Blake Snell on this team, and they're as good as anybody.
No, they're not.
In the wild card hunt.
But at least he'd be a stopper and an anchor atop the rotation. At least there would be a feel of, hey, they're going for it here, as opposed to, we'll improve marginally with these bullpen arms. Yeah, Brazoban and Stanek, they've really gotten the job done. And Blackburn, Winker, too. What additions the Mets made. Like, those moves show you that they're not really serious about taking that next step. Now, that's fair if they don't believe in this team. Fine, that's your opinion. I personally would have gone all in. I'm on record of saying that, and I would have went after Blake Snell hard because I thought that that's what they needed. But if they don't believe in the team, don't halfway it, then sell in a seller's market, and they didn't do that. And that's part of the problem here, too.
You and I fundamentally disagree a little bit on that. I don't think there was even, and I liked Blake Snell during the offseason for the Yankees.
Right.
So I'm not anti-Blake Snell.
And I didn't, by the way.
I know you didn't. Yeah. It is pretty interesting.
But he has been,
because
he turned it around.
I know.
And because of where the Mets were at, and because of what his potential was.
Understood.
Like, he has the potential, and he's showing it now, to be an ace.
Oh, circumstances change.
I get it. And when you and I had this debate about the Mets and their biggest weakness, what was it? Starting pitching.
It was starting pitching, yeah. I don't think there was a real power move out there that would have elevated the Mets to the most meaningful part of the discussion, meaning championship. So, you know, why take a risk? Say if they would have gotten Blake Snell, say if he got hurt, not that Steve Cohen can't afford it, but then next year you're on the hook for his $33 million player option, which he would definitely pick up if he got hurt. I just thought it was an unnecessary risk, and the reward was not as vast as some thought. I didn't think there was a stick that was on the market that was, you know, an absolute game changer for the Mets. And I was fine with what Stearns did. Some ancillary pieces that haven't really worked out. But the bottom line is this. If your stars don't play like stars, you're going nowhere. And for the most, outside of Lindor for a couple of months, really, Nobody has.
BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, take more of your calls as well. Live at the Javits Center here at Fanatics Fest. Watch this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on CBS TV. The Big Three Championship Weekend tips off from Boston's TD Garden. Watch Gary Payton's Bivouac and Michael Cooper's Three's Company battle it out for the Dr. J Championship Trophy. That's this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern, live on CBS Television. Ice Cube's Big Three Basketball Championship game from Boston's TD Garden. Watch all the action live this Sunday, 3 p.m. on CBS Television and on X around the world. Big Three Basketball, a sports extravaganza like no other.
Shout out to my man Ice Cube. I used to work for him for a year doing the Big Three. I told you that the other day. One thing about Ice that people don't really know, like, well, I, not why would you? Because you're not there behind the scenes. During the Big Three, like, you think somebody like Ice Cube or Jay-Z, like, just a massive name, that they would just parachute in and they'd have their name attached to it and they'd just sit front, you know, courtside and not, like, not get their hands dirty. I remember going there early for the broadcast.
Right.
Ice Cube was there any teeny-weeny attention to detail, whether it's stickers on the floor, VIP seating. He was up in the rafters, the DJ booth. He was so hands-on.
What'd you call him?
Call him Ice.
Oh, I would call him Cube.
Well, you call him Mr. Cube. No, I'd say, what's
one
up,
time,
Ice?
The one time I did meet him, I was like, can I call you Cube?
Because that's his, but so is Ice.
Yeah.
But there's also, you know, Vanilla Ice, not that he'd be there, and obviously Ice-T.
Yeah, right.
You know.
All right.
Anyway, George Gervin, the Iceman. It's been a hot summer, speaking of ice, and if you're an HVAC contractor, well, you need a brand of equipment that won't let you down. Visit becomeadealer.com/American Standard to learn why American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning has a reputation for doing things right. Get local support, the best product lineup, award-winning excellence, robust marketing, and learn why American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard. You won't just represent a top-quality product. You'll add a new team and a dedication to your growth and profitability. Visit becomeadealer.com/American Standard to learn more today.
Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the fan. 877-33... Wait, what the hell's the number here?
888-888-1019.
Just by habit right there.
Yes,
giving
it
the
was.
Old school number. That's years of habit right there. Anyway, we're live
at
the Javits
Center. You didn't say 718-937-6666, did you?
It has been, no, almost.
That would be nuts.
It has been great. The number, of course, is 888-808-1019. It has been great hanging out here at the Javits Center, live at Fanatics Fest, getting a chance to meet a lot of fan listeners and just diehard sports fans, especially New York sports fans. So it's been pretty cool experience here. If you're around there, you got to come check it out. It's nuts. And you see fans everywhere. You get Steelers and Chiefs and all over the place here.
Yeah. Well, and you're wearing your Falcons jersey, hopefully.
Yeah, where's Ruben at?
Well, where's Tom Brady at? That's why I don't care about Ruben.
Right. If Vic and Brady, he made a promise here. I'm sweating my you-know-what off in these football pants here. They're tight as any. I can't even button this thing.
You did step up. He's all geared up, as usual. So we'll get that going a little bit later. Sal's going to hopefully catch a few passes from Brady. But you know, and you said this. I want to give you credit. I felt it, but I didn't say it. We were taking pictures with a bunch of fans, which we'll do the rest of the day. And all the teams are represented, but you said, man, the Nick energy is massive in this room today.
You feel it,
the
right?
The Nick energy is off the charts. I love it. The Knicks are back,
gives
baby.
Me goosebumps, dude.
Let's go, Knicks!
It gives me goosebumps. The Nick energy is incredible.
This guy's booing.
Oh, who's booing
this
the Knicks?
This guy right here. Get lost.
Who are you rooting for? Oh, the Sixers!
Yeah. Hey, how'd that taste? Pretty good?
Sixers!
Yeah. How'd it feel? Feel good? Yeah. Nice little first round ouster. See you, buddy.
All right.
Get lost.
BT and Sal back on the fan. And we'll take your calls here. We're talking.
Get feisty in person here.
Mets,
yeah.
Of course. That is great, man. The Knicks and Sixers stuff. And it's going to go on, hopefully, the rest of next year.
If they, if they could keep up.
The Sixers, I know. They got some work to do. And we'll change topic here in a little bit when we come back. We'll do some football. Also, some other baseball stuff that we want to get into outside the Mets. But we'll keep it with the Mets here and continue with the calls.
Okay.
To close out this hour. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's going on, guys?
Where are you? Why are you not down here at the Javits Center? What's going on?
I'm trying to get my car fixed right now. The rats ate my wires, brother, so I got the check engine light. Come on. Yeah, exactly. It looks like it won't be too bad. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen.
What's wrong with it? You said the wires? I didn't hear you. What's wrong with it?
Well, I had a check engine light, and it was something about transmission sensor overheat or something.
Trade that hoopty in, will you? I mean, Hector's always got some
issues. It's 2022. What are we talking about hoopty? We're like 70-something thousand miles. Are you kidding me?
stinking rats with New York City kids. Oh, my gosh. I hopefully we can see the wires eating up, so hopefully that's all it is, and we can keep it pushing. But just waiting for that nonsense now.
So what's happening?
How are you feeling about the Mets, Hector?
Yeah, they need some work, too.
I'm defeated, guys. And listen, you guys know, we was at a game where you guys were laughing at me when everybody knew the season was done. But until that magic number says zero, I want to believe. And Sal, you touched on it a little bit. You asked, why would you believe in this team? Because they gave us a little bit of reason, right? You had the team meeting, J.D. Martinez steps up, Francisco Lindor and Nimmo finally step up as leaders. Brandon Nimmo, you think is going to be this great hitter now with some power. Instead, he's turned into garbage, and so on and so on and so forth. You got Christian Stott coming up and provide something for the rotation, you thought, and he gets hurt. And you know, so it's like every time you think something good is going to happen, this team knocks you back down. And then yesterday, the ultimate gut punch. You go up 5-0. You're feeling good. Mark Vientos, 2 home runs. And then you go on to lose this game. And I got to go to Twitter and see all this nonsense with this girl. And like, at first, I laughed about it. Guys, I do like YouTube lives during the game sometimes, live reaction and stuff. And I noticed during the game, and I laughed about it. Like, oh, okay, figures. Why does it have to be us? But then when you start seeing all the joke, all the LOL Mets, it's hard not to be upset at that. You know, and it has nothing to do with the play on the field, but then it just adds on to it.
Well, it does, though, Hector, and thank you for the call, as always. Hopefully everything goes okay with your car, that you get back up and running. It does have to do with the play on the field. Because their play on the field isn't good enough and hasn't been good enough historically. Again, how many times I got to reference this? A franchise that has made the postseason in consecutive years twice in the history of the franchise. Crosstown rivals make it every single year. It's like if the Yankees don't make it, oh my God. And if the Mets make it 2 years in a row, it's history. It's historic for their franchise. So it does have to do with their play on the field. It's their play on the field combined with the joke that they become off it. And they chase that attention because they can't get it the right way just by building a team that's a winning team.
I said it yesterday, and, you know, it's hard enough, and we know the teams. One is the Mets. One is the Jets. The Knicks are now off the hook, thank God, but the Knicks were on that list for a long time. And the hardest, like, we're never going to quit on our teams. It's just, we're not built that way. We can't. All right? So all we ask is that you don't actually write the jokes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're right. You do enough bad stuff on your own. Don't hate it. Like, come on.
Keep it to the sports stuff. Keep it, like, it's one thing if we've got to deal with failed draft picks and a GM who's a bozo and a head coach who's useless or a combination of all those things oftentimes. That's one thing. That's tough enough. But then when you amplify things, now when the embarrassment sets in, like, the Mets lost a bad game yesterday. But because of what transpired before the game, the Mets were a joke yesterday.
And I'm not going to do this because I really don't want to, but a lot of this stuff was thought to be prior ownership issue.
Yep.
And I can, you all can, it's record, go back since Steve Cohen has taken over and list, forget about their win total or win-loss record, list the embarrassing things that have happened, starting with the front office hires.
Like, yes. Yes.
Think about just that.
Don't forget about Mickey Callaway.
Well, this is what I'm. Callaway was.
You talking about like
prior
ownership. About before Cohen?
No. Or I'm talking about since Cohen took over.
I thought you meant before.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
I got you.
There was the thought that
all that stuff before that it was gone.
They everybody made fun of the Wilpons and ripped the Wilpons.
Yep.
And like spending is different, and I do believe it's truly different with the ownership of Steve Cohen. However, has it proven to be?
Well, can I ask you a
when
question?
When you look at the off the field stuff,
well, hold on a second. You say that you believe that it's truly different with Steve Cohen.
Well, at least the
How?
Money. The money.
Besides that,
well, that's a big
it's not like the Wilpons have the 19th highest payroll. They were cheap and they cut quarters. I get it. They spend more than like that narrative's a little distorted.
Well, pre 2009, it was different where the Wilpons did spend. They didn't spend as much as the Yankees, but they spent as much as anybody else.
Yes.
Then 2009 happened, Madoff stuff.
The Madoff.
Okay, and then they were not spending. Those are just the facts.
Yep.
It's not opinion. Those are
I got
facts.
You.
Okay. But there were other things like the Callaway stuff, the Mr. Met middle finger thing. And these are just a couple that are coming to my mind. Like, how many LOL Met things happen along the way?
Uh-huh.
And then Cohen took over, and there was supposed to be this change and stability and kind of like a stable franchise, and it has not been that.
No.
It seems to be one thing after another, whether it's GMs doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or bad hires that are getting guys fired immediately, whether it is bringing in a viral sensation to throw out a first pitch that's going to create immense negative attention. And again, these are just some of the examples. We could go over the list of stuff that has happened under a different ownership, but it's still LOL Mets type stuff.
Well, yeah, because now the list is starting to pile up with new ownership. And it's not like, yesterday was the first time they had a little mistake here, a little PR gaffe. I just thought that Cohen, and maybe this still happens, and maybe it happens in the form of luring Juan Soto away, which I don't think will happen, but it's possible. Until he resigns, you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I just thought the transformation of the Mets, what I was excited about as a New York radio voice and as a sports fan, I thought that the Mets would transform into a first-rate organization.
Correct. That's what
they have not.
Right. They have not.
And they have not. It's year 4.5.
Right. That's the point.
It's now, not month 4.5.
You mentioned it, and as I said the other day, with every homer, Soto is maybe pricing himself off the Yankees because they're not going to have the highest offer. Well, with every mistake that the Mets make as an organization, whether it's not making the playoffs, whether it's a loss, whether it's stupid things like yesterday with the first pitch, the price goes even higher for Juan Soto. That's the one move that can erase anything that happened prior. If King Cohen or Steve Cohen, from the record. If Steve Cohen acts like a king and delivers the Met fan Juan Soto, all that happened prior will be forgotten. I promise you that. All that happened prior will be forgotten. And then ultimately, it's still going to be about wins and losses. But if he could deliver Juan Soto, everything else will be forgotten.
It would be a massive reset button.
Yes,
it would be like, okay, this is what we thought would happen. And all the other stuff you can kind of trivialize that. Like, okay, there were a few gaps early. But this is what when Cohen bought the team, we envisioned this.
Yeah.
We envisioned, reeling in that 700-pound marlin, that massive, trophy fish or whatever. And he's yet to do it. He assures there, a little Verlander, tried some things, which I understood. He went forth, then he ate some money, tried to build a farm system. He's tried to do things differently than previous ownership. But the bottom line is this. They're not a whole lot closer to being, a first-class organization than the day before he walked in. There's not much of a difference.
And that's the point. BT and Sal on the Fan. Warrior calls on the other side. We'll also work in some football, something I want to get to with the Jets and why the Reddick situation is a lot more significant than it's being led to be for now. Contractors, get what you need to get the job done. Head to Windorama. They keep a huge supply of Anderson windows, patio doors, and storm doors in many sizes in stock at their distribution center for pickup or quick delivery. Windorama is proud to feature Anderson, the number one trusted window and door brand. Plus, get access to other premium brands. Call Windorama at 1-800-695-RAMA. Visit one of their 25 showrooms throughout the tri-state area or Windorama.com and let your project be their passion.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 877-33. Wait, what the hell's the number here?
888-888-1019.
Just by habit right there.
Yes,
it
was.
Old number. That's years of habit right there. Anyway, we're live at the Javits
Center. You didn't say 718-937-6666, did you?
It has been, no, almost.
That would be nuts.
It has been great. The number, of course, is 888-808-1019. It has been great hanging out here at the Javits Center live at Fanatics Fest, getting a chance to meet a lot of fan listeners and just diehard sports fans, especially New York sports fans. So it's been pretty cool experience here. If you're around there, you got to come check it out. It's nuts. And you see fans everywhere. You get Steelers and Chiefs and all over the place here.
Yeah. Well, and you're wearing your Falcons jersey, hopefully.
Yeah, where's Ruben at?
Well, where's Tom Brady at? That's what I don't care about Ruben.
Right. If Vic and Brady, he made a promise here. I'm sweating my you-know-what off in these football pants here. They're tight as any. I can't even button this thing.
You did step up. He's all geared up, as usual. So we'll get that going a little bit later. Sal's going to hopefully catch a few passes from Brady. But, and you said this. I want to give you credit. I felt it, but I didn't say it. We were taking pictures with a bunch of fans, which we'll do the rest of the day. And all the teams are represented. But you said, man, the Nick energy is massive in this room today.
You feel it,
the
right?
The Nick energy is off the charts. I love it. The Knicks are back,
gives
baby.
Me goosebumps, dude.
Let's go Knicks.
It gives me goosebumps. The Nick energy is incredible.
This guy's booing.
Oh, who's booing
this
the Knicks?
This guy right here. Get lost.
Who do you root for? Oh, the Sixers.
Yeah. Hey, how'd that taste? Pretty good?
Hey, the Sixers.
Yeah. How'd it feel? Feel good? Yeah. Nice little first round ouster. See you, buddy.
All right.
Get lost.
BT and Sal back on the fan. And we'll take your calls here. We're talking.
Get feisty in person here.
Mets,
yeah.
Of course. That is great, man. The Knicks and Sixers stuff. And it's going to go on, hopefully, the rest of the next year.
If they could keep up.
The Sixers, I know. They got some work to do. And we'll change topic here in a little bit when we come back. We'll do some football. Also, some other baseball stuff that we want to get into outside the Mets. But we'll keep it with the Mets here and continue with the calls.
Okay.
To close out this hour. Hector is in Washington Heights. What's up, Hector?
What's going on, guys?
Where are you? Why are you not down here at the Javits Center? What's going on?
I'm trying to get my car fixed right now. The rats ate my wires, brother. So I got the check engine light. Come on. Yeah, exactly. It looks like it won't be too bad. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen.
What's wrong with it? You said the wires? I didn't hear you. What's wrong with it?
Well, I had a check engine light, and it was something about transmission sensor overheat or something.
Trade that hoopty in, will you? I mean, Hector's always got some
issues. It's 2022. What are we talking about hoopty? We're like 70-something thousand miles. Are you kidding me? These stinking rats of New York City kids. Oh, my gosh. I hopefully we can see the wires eating up, so hopefully that's all it is, and we can keep it pushing, but just waiting for that nonsense now.
So what's happening?
How are you feeling about the Mets, Hector?
Yeah, they need some work, too.
I'm defeated, guys. And listen, you guys know, we was at a game where you guys were laughing at me when everybody knew the season was done. But until that magic number says zero, I want to believe. And Sal, you touched on it a little bit. You asked, why would you believe in this team? Because they gave us a little bit of reason, right? You had the team meeting. J.D. Martinez steps up. Francisco Lindor and Nimmo finally step up as leaders. Brandon Nimmo, you think is going to be this great hitter now with some power. Instead, he's turned into garbage. And so on and so on and so forth. You got Christian Stott coming up and provides something for the rotation, you thought, and he gets hurt. And you know, the choice, like, every time you think something good is going to happen, this team knocks you back down. And then yesterday, the ultimate gut punch. You go up 5-0. You're feeling good. Mark Vientos, 2 home runs. And then you go on to lose this game. And I got to go to Twitter and see all this nonsense with this girl. And like, at first, I laughed about it. Guys, I do, like, YouTube lives during the game sometimes, live reaction and stuff. And I noticed during the game, and I laughed about it. Like, oh, okay, figures. Why does it have to be us? But then when you start seeing all the joke, all the LOL moments, it's hard not to be upset at that. You know, and it has nothing to do with the play on the field. But then it just adds on to it.
Well, it does, though, Hector, and thank you for the call, as always. Hopefully everything goes okay with your car, you get back up and running. It does have to do with the play on the field. Because their play on the field isn't good enough and hasn't been good enough historically. Again, how many times I got to reference this? A franchise that has made the postseason in consecutive years twice in the history of the franchise. Crosstown rivals make it every single year. It's like if the Yankees don't make it, oh my God. And if the Mets make it 2 years in a row, it's history. It's historic for their franchise. So it does have to do with their play on the field. It's their play on the field combined with the joke that they become off it. And they chase that attention because they can't get it the right way just by building a team that's a winning team.
I said it yesterday, and, you know, it's hard enough, and we know the teams. One is the Mets. One is the Jets. The Knicks are now off the hook, thank God, but the Knicks were on that list for a long time. And the hardest, like, we're never going to quit on our teams. It's just, we're not built that way. We can't. All right? So all we ask is that you don't actually write the jokes.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
you're right. You do enough bad stuff on your own.
Just yeah.
Don't hate it. Like, come on.
Keep it to the sports stuff. Keep it. Like, it's one thing if we've got to deal with failed draft picks and a GM who's a bozo and a head coach who's useless or a combination of all those things oftentimes. That's one thing. That's tough enough. But then when you amplify things, now when the embarrassment sets in, like the Mets lost a bad game yesterday. But because of what transpired before the game, the Mets were a joke yesterday.
And I'm not going to do this because I really don't want to, but a lot of this stuff was thought to be prior ownership issue.
Yep.
And I can, you all can, it's record, go back since Steve Cohen has taken over and list, forget about their win total or win-loss record, list the embarrassing things that have happened, starting with the front office hires.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Think about just that.
Don't forget about Mickey Callaway.
Well, this is what I'm Callaway was.
You talking about like before Cohen?
No. Or I'm talking about since Cohen took
over.
Gotcha.
I thought you meant before.
Like, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I got you.
There was the thought that
all that stuff before that it was gone.
They everybody made fun of the Wilpons and ripped the Wilpons.
Yep.
And like spending is different, and I do believe it's truly different with the ownership of Steve Cohen. However, has it proven to be?
Well, can I ask you
a
question?
When you look at the off the field stuff,
well, hold on a second. You say that you believe that it's truly different with Steve Cohen.
Well, at least the
How?
Money. The money.
Besides that,
well, that's a big
it's not like the Wilpons had the 19th highest payroll. They were cheap and they cut quarters. No. I get it.
Yeah,
they spent more than like that narrative's a little distorted.
Well, pre 2009, it was different where the Wilpons did spend. They didn't spend as much as the Yankees, but they spent as much as anybody else.
Yes.
Then 2009 happened, Madoff stuff.
The Madoff.
Okay, and then they were not spending. Those are just the facts.
Yep.
It's not opinion. Those are
I got
facts.
You.
Okay. But there were other things like the Callaway stuff, the Mr. Met middle finger thing. And these are just a couple that are coming to my mind. Like, how many LOL Met things happen along the way?
Uh-huh.
And then Cohen took over, and there was supposed to be this change and stability and kind of like a stable franchise. And it has not been that.
No.
It seems to be one thing after another, whether it's you have GMs doing something that they shouldn't be doing, or bad hires that are getting guys fired immediately. Whether it is, you know, bringing in a viral sensation to throw out a first pitch, it's going to create immense negative attention. And again, these are just some of the examples. We could go over the list of stuff that has happened under a different ownership, but it's still LOL Mets type stuff.
Well, yeah, because now the list is starting to pile up with new ownership, and it's not like, you know, yesterday was the first time they had a little mistake here, a little PR gaffe. I just thought that Cohen, and maybe this still happens, and maybe it happens in the form of luring Juan Soto away, which I don't think will happen, but it's possible. Until he resigns, you don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
I just thought the transformation of the Mets, what I was excited about as a New York radio voice and as a sports fan, I thought that the Mets would transform into a first-rate organization.
Correct. That's what
they have not.
Right. They have not.
And they have not. It's year 4.5.
Right. That's the point.
It's now, not month 4.5.
You mentioned it, and as I said the other day, with every homer, Soto is maybe pricing himself off the Yankees because they're not going to have the highest offer. Well, with every mistake that the Mets make as an organization, whether it's not making the playoffs, whether it's a loss, whether it's stupid things like yesterday with the first pitch, the price goes even higher for Juan Soto. That's the one move that can erase anything that happened prior. If King Cohen or Steve Cohen,
strike that
from the record. If Steve Cohen acts like a king and delivers the Met fan Juan Soto, all that happened prior will be forgotten. I promise you that. All that happened prior will be forgotten. And then ultimately, it's still going to be about wins and losses. But if he could deliver Juan Soto, everything else will be forgotten.
It would be a massive reset button.
Yes,
it would be like, okay, this is what we thought would happen, and all the other stuff you can kind of trivialize that. Like, okay, yeah, there were a few gaffes early, but this is what when Cohen bought the team, we envisioned this.
Yeah.
We envisioned, reeling in that 700-pound marlin, that massive, trophy fish or whatever. And he's yet to do it. He assures there, a little Verlander, try some things, which I understood. He went forth, then he ate some money, tried to build a farm system. He's tried to do things differently than previous ownership. But the bottom line is this. They're not a whole lot closer to being, a first-class organization than the day before he walked in. There's not much of a difference.
And that's the point. BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls on the other side. We'll also work in some football, something I want to get to with the Jets and why the Reddick situation is a lot more significant than it's being led to be for now. Contractors, get what you need to get the job done. Head to Windorama. They keep a huge supply of Anderson windows, patio doors, and storm doors in many sizes in stock at their distribution center for pickup or quick delivery. Windorama is proud to feature Anderson, the number one trusted window and door brand. Plus, get access to other premium brands. Call Windorama at 1-800-695-RAMA. Visit one of their 25 showrooms throughout the tri-state area or Windorama.com and let your project be their passion.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.